So Heavenly Father, we thank you today. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And as we listen today to your Word, we ask to be taught by your Holy Spirit and ask of you now that you would cause us to walk with you. We humble ourselves. Lord, we suppose many things or think in ourselves many things that are not of you. Or even after a while, just some things we hold to. And I ask for that work today by your Holy Spirit that we would receive your understanding and your wisdom of what church is and what it is to be a body and how we can become a part of you and of one another. It's my prayer today that you would cause this body of believers here to be one with you. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So when I left off in 1 Corinthians 12, so 1 Corinthians 12:12 is where we're going to pick up today. And by way of just stating this, for as the body is one, again, the reference is to the physical body. If you consider what Paul is teaching by the Holy Spirit and what understanding he wants to give, this becomes valuable for us. And he says the body is one body, and speaking of the human body, and then he describes here and has many members, fingers, toes, ears, eyes, etc. Many members, let alone now if you've studied the bones, or you've studied the muscles, and you studied the organs. All of a sudden, you understand systems, and you're like, oh yeah, there's a lot of members in the body, and this is before the microscope, and you get onto the cell level, and then understand that DNA code is in every part of every cell in your body. And this understanding what oneness is described here, again, by the Holy Spirit, Paul instructing the church in Corinth, and he's correcting them. Okay, don't miss this part. I believe this is Holy Spirit important for us, that this letter was a letter of correction for how they had been living with one another. Back in chapter 3, he said that there were divisions among them. It was told to him by Chloe's household that there were actually divisions in one church. And there was a Paul wing of divisions and an Apollos wing. And then there was a Peter. And then the super spiritual ones, they were with Christ. And yet the church was divided. So don't miss this part as we come to learn from this letter that this was for them to be correction. Now, I'm going to say this again to you, right? Instructions are corrective. If you buy something and you don't know how to use it, again, if you think of it's an electronic device, and I don't know if anybody reads any of the instruction manuals anymore, like say for a phone, we just pick them up and start using them. But everything comes with an instruction manual. Sometimes you have to download it digitally or whatever it might be, and then you never really know how that works. You think you know. Do you hear that one? You think you know until you do what? Read the instructions, and then the instructions correct you. Now, not every correction has to be painful. Do you hear that? Not every correction is painful. So when Paul comes to describe to them how the Holy Spirit gives gifts, distributes them to every part of the body of Christ, how he distributes the Holy Spirit gifts, and he divides them out everywhere in the body. So don't think that you're the one that was left without a gift of the Holy Spirit. Everyone has at least one, and then you're given that gift, and that is so you can, again, profit the rest of the body of Christ. And that's the instructions we've been following for the last couple weeks as we've studied the gifts. When I come to 12:12, 1 Corinthians 12:12, the body is one. I just came back from the trip in Africa with the chaplains. And again, as I'm preparing for this study, the chaplains who, again, have been over 20 years, 11 classes of chaplains there with far-reaching ministries in South Sudan. And they're primarily from two different tribes that historically have been opposite of each other. And so a good portion of those chaplains, again, born again now, right, saved by Jesus Christ, and they're together as chaplains. And so they sing a song together, kind of chanting, and it's military, and so a little bit of a cadence to it. We are chaplains, we are one. We are chaplains, we are one. And I was trying to adapt it for us today, but I don't know if I need to. Just by introducing this, if you can be thoroughly convinced that what was going on in Corinth, they were not one. Okay, they were not one. So this letter comes and says to them, the body is one. Okay, your human body is one. Have many members. All the members of that one body, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. And so I think for us to come to this today, and I have a way we're going to study this, but we got to catch this last phrase in 12, so also is Christ. And so there's a wonderful mystery that Paul reveals to the Colossian church. He says this mystery, that which was formerly hidden, now revealed, and he describes this mystery to the church. He says this mystery is Christ in you. Christ is in every single believer. And this becomes an important place because where Paul goes next in verse 12, he says, verse 13, for by one spirit we are all baptized into one body. Now, when we read this, the tendency amongst those who don't listen closely is, oh, this is the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Or, oh, this is water baptism. That's not the context. The context that Paul is sharing with them is how do we as many members, right? What did our Lord teach? Our Lord taught that the Holy Spirit would be in the world and that the world could not receive him. But you would know him, for he is in you. Well, how is Jesus in you? How is that hope of glory in you? Well, by believing and receiving the gospel. Again, you are born from above. You're born of the Spirit. And then you are one in the body of Christ. This is where Paul is describing what this is as he would now get on to them. And these instructions are going to correct their divisions. And describing what we would now apply, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. You'll notice there the grammar. It's not you baptizing yourself into the body of Christ. It's not you saying, I go to church so I'm a part of the body of Christ. Again, as we would draw out the meaning and the understanding, it's helpful that this is a passive verb, meaning that this is what God does for you when you believe and receive. And it's the regeneration. It's being born of God. I love the welcome verses today because I know verse 13 is coming, and John's saying that, again, since you have purified your souls and obeying the truth, again, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Well, right before that, the whole description was having been born again. The place where this is for us to be at today is you cannot be a Christian outwardly. Okay? You cannot be a part of the body just by outwardly filling the parts. Now, why I bring that forth is because this is that work of the Holy Spirit that Paul is now bringing to the church body. He says, you're born of the Spirit of God. That means you are in Christ and he is in you. And therefore, we could say things like, we are the body, we are one. Right? We are the body, we are one. I guess I got my saying now. And what I would like to hand off to us, I guess, something I think the Holy Spirit gave in yesterday's proverb. I read a proverb a day to keep Satan away. Or better application, as I've studied over the years, I read a proverb a day to keep the flesh away. Just that place of the wisdom and understanding of denying self, taking up the cross, living for the Lord. And so Proverb 23:12, if you would find your way there, let's pick this up. And this is how we're going to apply the study of 1 Corinthians 12 through 31. And I've entitled it the spiritual body. So my first question to you is, are you born from above? And if you are, right, so it's, how does that happen, right? When you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross and rose again, right, and you're understanding that he died, right, for the sin of the world, and you hear that gospel, and you're convicted, like, I'm a sinner. And that if I don't receive Jesus Christ, I will die in my sins. I need to be saved. That's all the work of the Holy Spirit. That when you believe and receive Jesus, you take two steps. You repent of your sins, and you believe upon Jesus Christ. The Bible says you are saved. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart he's risen from the dead, you are saved. Well, that's insider lingo, isn't it? Saved is, we're like, that's a term we use. We're saved. But the part I want to add for us here is that 1 Corinthians 12:13, you just stay right where you're at in the proverb from yesterday, 23:12. And listen to this, baptized into one body, whether Jew or Gentile, whether bond or free. Now I understand what Paul's saying. He said the Jews believed and received the gospel. They're in Christ. Okay? The Gentiles believed and received the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're in Christ. One body. There's not a Jewish church of Jesus and a Gentile church of Jesus, or now I'll modernize it. There's not a Calvary Chapel church of Jesus and a Baptist church of Jesus and a Lutheran church of Jesus and a Presbyterian church of Jesus. There, none of that. That's all man-made. And why I describe it to us in this way is this next phrase in 13, we've all been made to drink into one spirit. Now, I believe that's a reference to John 4, the woman at the well who's thirsty, right? And she's coming to the well to drink, and then Jesus is talking to her, says, if you knew who you were talking to, right, you would ask him for water. And he said, I say him because I don't want to say me, but he says, you'd ask me for water, living water. When it says, all made to drink into one spirit, this is supernatural. This is the power of God. This is why people ask, how can I join the church? Well, you must be born again into it. You can't just join like you could another fraternal organization, or again, maybe that doesn't work for you ladies, a fraternal organization. I hope it doesn't work for you. But ladies' aid, or again, you think of the men's groups, or even various clubs, or maybe they center around a sport. We watch the world do things like this, and the people that have similar likes and desires, they show up and they do things together because there's something that they all want to do together. It happens at every bar in town, the fake fellowship that's sought out, because people, they don't want to be alone. Now, why I describe this in this way is this is for those, this is for believers who believed and received. And this is where this is at when Paul is talking about the body. So I may look like a Christian on the outside. I have someone in my life who went to church for years with his wife and gave all the outward signs that he was born of God. But I know when he repented and believed the gospel, and when he was born of God many years later. And many people thought he was a believer. Now, why I'm bringing that up to us today is I'm calling us to be one. Okay? I'm calling us to receive the instructions. Proverbs 23:12. We'll get on to this. Proverbs 23:12 says, apply your heart to instruction. Now, when you hear instruction, what else do you hear? Do you hear it? Correction. Instruction, correction. Now, not all chastening is painful. How can you avoid painful correction? Listen to instructions. I'm ready to be instructed. I get royalties for that answer. You got that from above. Now, so may the Lord bless you today. If you can, because I'm talking heart level. Okay? And Proverbs 23:12 says, apply your heart to instruction and your ears to words of knowledge. Now, we just studied the word of knowledge, the spiritual gift of the word of knowledge. And I find it, I looked at this verse and I picked it apart and I prayed it apart in Proverbs 23:12. And I want to talk to your heart today. The center of who you are, and it's about the instruction, and we're going to look at the instruction of the word in 1 Corinthians 12. If you thought the word was not sufficient to answer Satan, how did Jesus answer Satan when he was tempted to do evil? With the word of God. See, because it can be very subtle sometimes. In fact, when we talk about the body, You can come to church and you can start saying, well, I don't like so-and-so. And I don't think they like me. I don't even really want to be in the same room with so-and-so. Or they're always so prideful, I don't even want to talk to them. And that's the subtlety of Satan, always working to divide and separate. And I'm calling us today, and the only way we're going to have oneness is like-minded in Christ. And I'm asking you to listen together with me to apply your heart to the instruction of the Word. Find your way to 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16. Now I'm laying a little groundwork, and then, or maybe you think it's a lot of groundwork. For me, it's a little. 2 Timothy 3:16. So the context of 23:12 of Proverbs, again, is apply your heart to instruction. So this statement in and of itself, if you're going to apply your heart to be corrected over what God says and then be brought into that way, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and then this last phrase in 2 Timothy 3:16, for instruction in righteousness. Now, you can do your word study on the word that comes out of the Greek into the English for instruction, and it's the same understanding of instruction in 23:12. It involves correction. Now, it might be chastening. And it might come with an ouch with it, if you will. I know that's not a bad thing, because this last week I've also reading the proverb that blows that hurt cleanse away evil, as do stripes the inner depths of the heart. Now, if I talk to you men out there, man to man, and again, some of you ladies as well, I can receive it in my straightforwardness, is we needed some painful correction or we never would have turned from our evil ways. And I find that what we have arrived at today in applying your heart to instruction and your ears to words of knowledge, that gift of word of knowledge that has been given unto us here, we are the body, we are one. We are chaplains, we are one. All right, like, okay, it's in my heart today. It's a song in my heart. And we've been given words of knowledge here concerning body parts of, again, a word of knowledge that each and every one of us, as a part of a body of oneness, where you spiritually, like a part in a physical body, and where you fit in then and can operate in this spiritual body. Now, if you're visiting today, you're like, what is that? And good. Or if you haven't yet decided that I'm one here. And so I want to be thoroughly convincing to you. This is the body of Christ everywhere. I'm one with every true believer. I just don't know who the true believers are. So I can't go around and judge everybody. But when I meet someone who's a believer, I want to have fellowship in Jesus Christ. I don't want to know where they go to church. Because then we're just talking, oh, what do you believe? And come to our church, go to your church, whatever, right? Preempt it. Preempt whatever, because you know that question's coming next. You just preempt it and say, aren't you glad we're saved in Jesus Christ? Aren't you glad for the cross of Jesus Christ? Aren't you glad that you're born of God? And just go there. And so in a bit of this today, as I would now hand off to you, when God gave us the words of knowledge and that you would know that the Holy Spirit has given a word of knowledge for you as a part of this body, that you have a part here and you belong here and everybody else has a part and they belong here. And what God has given them to do is going to bless you. And what God has given you to do is to bless others, that we might edify one another in the love of God. That the relationships between this body. Now, I got to stay on course here. This is for the spiritual body, which I entitled today the spiritual body. This is for our church. We have this, again, this words of knowledge that God gave us. But notice the proverb that I've been talking about. Apply your heart to instruction. So we must take the first step of the instruction of God's word in 1 Corinthians 12. Okay? You cannot put prophecy ahead of the word of God. Okay? You cannot put prophecy ahead of the word of God. Why? Because then you won't test if what the prophecy is being said, if it is of God or not. Okay? Now, Old Testament prophets were under the law, and under the law, if they prophesied and they what they said did not come true, what was the fate of those men and women who would prophesy? It's punishable by death under the law. It's some good, healthy fear of God type of stuff to like, okay. But when God was speaking to the prophets, then the people were to take heed. And this is where I apply our heart to the instruction first over how we are with one another. And that's what we're going to follow the instructions in 1 Corinthians 12. Then the second part to this, having that body parts, again, all those words of knowledge, I have a master list of all these words of knowledge that God has given to us. And I pick it out from time to time and I remember, but I also am interacting. So when I'm asking you what your body part, it's not because I don't know. I'm drawing out of you your understanding if you know and if you've been applying your heart, or excuse me, applying your ears to that word of knowledge so the Holy Spirit can give you an understanding and gifts to say, how do I edify this body of believers? Now, I'll be straight up. Nobody loves correction at the first. In fact, the instructions in Proverb 3 talks about how a father who loves his children disciplines them promptly. And then Hebrews 12 uses that in running the race and what it is to be corrected. The end goal of all correction is the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So fathers, bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That nurture includes the instruction, the chastening, what needs to happen. Now, without question, the Corinthian church is being corrected in the instructions of 1 Corinthians 12. Now, how we listen to that today is up to us, really. Isn't that a strange thing? It's not strange, because Jesus gave us two instructions. He says, take heed, our Lord says to us, take heed how you hear, right? Take heed how you hear, for with the measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Now, would anybody be willing to stand before the Lord and say, judge me according to how I've loved one another in the body of Christ? Would any one of us stand up and say, Lord, the measure that I've given with everybody else, the words that I've said about everybody else in church, at some point in time, Lord, you can be that sharp with me as I've been with them in my heart. Now, I am not going to stand before God that way. I'm not standing up here and saying I don't say and think things, but when I say and think those things, I have one thing to do in the fear of the Lord. Repent. And then I'm before the Lord, and that's why I don't talk to anybody else till after I've been with the Lord each morning. If I talk to people first, that's not a good plan for me. And what I'm sharing with us today, and I'm handing this off to you, and again, it's from the heart, from my heart to your heart, to these things that are put there, is when we are corrected, then to, what is this church? Well, how are we to be one? I'm going to listen to these corrections. And what I cry out to the Lord day after day is mercy. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I blew it again. The commandment's agape, right? Love one another. It's pretty easy to love people until you start doing what with them? Being one with them. Do you hear that? Husbands and wives know that one. God says you're one, and you say, okay, we'll be one, and then watch the sparks fly. Likewise in church, I know two things are going to happen. What we've done the last 2 weeks in asking for the gifts and then stirring up the use of the gifts, I know Satan this week tried to discourage all of you who used your gifts and tried like, that wasn't real or that's this. Or I mean, I know that warfare that goes on. Even when you receive a word of prophecy from another, you say, well, I heard that prophecy, but I don't know if it'll ever happen. Okay, this is how this works. And this is why I stand up and say this to you today. We need this correction, but it doesn't have to be hardened against it. So let's get on with it already. That's my part. Right? Oh, take heed how you hear, but also take heed what you hear, because the ear tastes words. Okay, you hear that? You can choose, like, what do you listen to? You take heed to what you hear. And what this means for to be the body of Christ and to be one. For by one Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:13, we are all baptized into one body. So how could they say we're not together? There were divisions. You can't really say that, can you? So the first word of instruction to us is we are one body. Now, this is why it's so important to see that you must be born again. Otherwise, these words mean nothing. But if you are born of Him, then these words mean everything. That you're joined together with everyone else in this world who has believed and received upon Jesus Christ. Every single one of them, you're one with them. You don't have to go around practicing unity. You are to remain in Christ and endeavor to keep the unity. Okay? Now, the local expression of the body of Christ becomes very important for the actual doing of God's word. Those who say, I am a part of the body of Christ everywhere, yet they commit nowhere. You hear that one? You know, that would be like saying, you know, I believe in marriage and I believe that a man should have a wife and yet I don't commit to one woman. That's the same sort of commitment of that understanding. And I have committed to one woman. Right? Right? Whew. My wife, in case you're wondering, my wife. Right? But my heart to you today, let's just let the words of the letter to the Corinthians, what they needed to correct and how they were thinking about one another. See, church is not just a place you attend. Wow. And God said, let there be light. Church is not just a place you attend. See, one of my friends says, you know, people come to church, and he says, but usually when I start pastoring and being a shepherd and then start to bring them into the flock and things get corrected and then things get addressed and we start to teach and we start to build lives, he says, that's usually where I lose people. And my heart to us today is if you will apply your heart to instruction and you will... Your ears, apply your ears to words of knowledge. Okay. We've all been made to drink into one spirit. We are one. The body is not one member, but many. Enjoy that. Enjoy all the differences. Enjoy different personalities. Okay. Stop trying to make people think like you think, right? Again, just my beginning abbreviation of where this has got to go. The body is not one member, but many. So, many members, yet we are one. You know, many members, we are one. If the foot shall say, and here's where Paul now is instructing the church. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And again, rhetorical question. Of course it's part of the body. But the first word here is what God where God has placed you and the function he has given you. And then I'll go as far to say the body part, that word of knowledge that he has given for you, you're to use that for wisdom and understanding. It's not to limit you. It's to help you have an entrance into an understanding of how the gifts, and then you relate. And it's this place here, you belong. You are to have different gifts. Okay? You are to have different function, calling. The foot... I don't want to run on my hands. I don't want to walk on my hands. People do those things. It's not longevity. There, we found out when we went to Pikes Peak this summer in June that there was a guy who has the world record for pushing a peanut up Pikes Peak. He pushed a peanut up with his nose. I'm like, who would do that? But of course, everybody knows his name and his, right? But verse 15, the foot shall say, again, he's talking to them. He's talking to the Corinthians, and he's correcting the way they have been with each other. They're looking at each other and said, right, I'm not going to follow that guy and what he's saying. I'm not going to follow her and what she's saying. And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? After COVID, I'm pretty sure just about everybody really appreciates smelling. Some of you lost smell, and you're like, oh, it's so good to be back. Or some of you lost taste. My favorite roast of coffee, Italian roast, and it was given to me right before COVID, and I lost my taste. I'm like, I'm not going to drink. I'm going to save this till when my taste gets back. But if you're smelling, like, now, we need to understand, he's talking with them, and he's using the physical body, and he's using the senses. He's using the hands and the feet. When you hear that, you hear the feet is for your walk, the hands are for the works. Again, there's a very clear, simple analogy. The writer to the Hebrews describes the correction given is to bring healing to the weak or feeble knees and then the hands that hang down. This is not a foreign concept. And so Paul's correcting the Corinthians, and he's on to, if you will, their senses, and he's on to their walk and their works. And he says, our body, your physical body needs hands and feet. It needs every one of the senses. Not everybody is going to stand up front and teach the word, and not everyone's going to be the pastor of the church. So early on, a lot of people I'm not called a pastor, and they didn't do any serving. And then, so then doing the intern program and introducing different ideas, and guys are trying to figure this out. I'm not called the pastor. Well, there's all kinds of stuff that you do. Now, I've introduced to us this ministry of helps. Okay? And it's addressed at the end of today, if I ever get there. I might not get there today, and I don't want I got to get there. I don't want to take 2 weeks on this. I want to get onto the love of God next week. If the whole, verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? The whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God hath set the members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased him. Every part of your body is appointed. Likewise, in the church, every part of the body of Christ is appointed. It's set there. You belong. God gives you a place. He gives you function. He gives you gifts. Okay? He gives you, again, other relationships. He gives those that will be close to you, serving together. It might be that you begin to see that in the human body, those members work very closely together. Every one of my fingers works very closely together. My thumb and my forefinger, they really get a lot of work done together. You start to see, but what could you do with your hand without the coordination of your eye? See, this is what Paul is laying the groundwork to teach. He said, and if they were all one member, where were the body? So to look at Jesus' church and to think everybody should be conformed to be just like you. Can you hear that? Here's the truth. Our tendency is to think of ourselves that we are the ones who, right, understand. We hear the best from the Lord. We know what's going on. That's the tendency. The tendency is to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, rather than to think soberly as God has given to every one of us the measure of faith. And Paul said that by the grace of God, Romans 12:3. Now, hopefully I have you pondering a couple of things to apply your heart to the instruction that we are the body, we are one. We are many members. Okay, and this way it's great to express that in the local body. Enjoy that. You're going to have, there's others who can do what you cannot do. But if they can do that and share it with you, then you have it. This gift of helps, and this is where this goes today. I'm going to introduce it now. Do you want to be made whole? Okay. So back to that part of I think I'm the most well-adjusted, and yet deep down we know we're not. And then that means that the gifts of the church here is the body edifies itself in love. Do you know that another in the body probably has the gift of helps that may even be able to heal you and make you whole? It's an interesting thing. Do you want to be made whole? Here we are asking God to make us a house of mercy, and it begins in that repentance. God has been merciful unto us. We will have nothing to share outside the church if we aren't working on the mend and then mercy unto one another within, and to be merciful with each other. And those, this instruction of what the body has, now it flips if you look at this in verse 21. So 20 says there are many members, yet one body. That's what I'm, that's you have to decide that. We're one body. The tendency is what? I don't like something, I'm gone. Or the present one is, I'm staying, but I'm not going to talk to them. What do they call that in the world? Ghosting? I remember the first time I heard that term, I'm like, I had to look it up. So listen, we cannot avoid one another. Okay? So if you don't like what somebody else is doing, get alone with them and talk with them and learn. Apply your heart to instruction. Hey, can you help me out? I'm not quite understanding what you're doing. I hear what you're saying. Are you directing those comments at me? Again, this is where this goes in the body. 21 says, the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of you. This is what's addressed. And he's addressing the church, that the church cannot look around and say, we really don't need that person in the body of Christ. Okay. And all of you are thinking appendix. Do we really need the appendix or not? I'm guessing we do, else we wouldn't have one, right? But you understand this part. If you look at this, the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Where would the head go without feet? It'd fall over. Maybe land on its head. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And think about how your body, all the internal organs of your body that can't survive without the protection. They need the circulation. They, you know, again, we now understand, but they understood then that they had internal parts, the parts that were feeble. You know, I don't know if you, I mean, I'll hit things with my hands, but I won't hit things with my head. Some of you might hit with your head, I don't know. But you use the parts of the body for what they're fitted for. And so when he's describing to the church, he's correcting them. He says, the more feeble are necessary. Because what happens in the body of Christ with those that are looked upon as weak? Oh, I've shared that scripture with them 10,000 times and they're just not doing it. They'll never get it. I have nothing to do with them anymore. That's exactly what's being addressed here. The feeble part of the body of Christ. Now, I had a man one time who wanted to convince me he was the feeble part of the body of Christ, but he was actually the unruly part of the body of Christ. Quoting from 1 Thessalonians, or 2nd, I don't remember which one it was. And he insisted that I should therefore make provision for him, and yet he was an unruly part of the body of Christ that needed to be addressed. Now, why I get to this in this way is because I love you. I've been praying a long time that we would be one. My goal, again, in pleasing God in my marriage is to restore that which was taken away in the garden through sin when their oneness was really corrupted by sin. In my marriage, my goal is to restore that with my wife, the oneness. My goal here with church, genuine church, that should not be a new term to any of you here, unless you're new here. My goal is oneness in church. And I'm asking you to join yourself in oneness with other sinners. Saved. Right? Mercy of God upon our lives. Grace of God teaching us. Again, I'm instructing you to walk in the light with each other. To walk in love with each other. Because what happens if you hide things from one another? And you lie to one another? What is that? It's hate. So this is where this study is at for me today. And those members of the body, verse 23, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow much more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts may have more abundant comeliness. In a natural sense, in the body, again, you could see that if somebody has a deformed limb, they typically do what with it? They hide it. They cover it. That's the thought there. But in the body, this is what he's saying unto them. Instead of actually saying, hey, I don't like that person, have you ever just really considered what this correction's coming to the Corinthians, saying, I'm one with them, and to me, I look at their lives, and they're deformed to me. I don't quite get how they think, what they're doing. They're always this. Go to them and start to build that relationship. And stop like living out there in the I'm a part of the body of Christ everywhere, but never express it somewhere. I get Holy Spirit. One guy he would just go around from church to church, and he wanted to have that place of being able to speak and everyone and have like his voice. And I said again, in the Holy Spirit, I just said to him, is where do you go to church? Where's your local body of believers that you're working all these teachings of Christ out with? Now, what about learning to confront the pastor when he's wrong? You start to process what this body of Christ thing really is. I get in line. My favorite saying is, you were right, but I was less right. What happens? You know, and in this is the truth that any one of us at any point in time can do what? Any one of us can sin. We need each other. That's the members of the body which we think are less honorable. Again, every church that I know of, every body of believers, again, has parts of the body that we watch out for each other, care for each other. You know, the instruction there of even the comely or the beautiful, shapely parts, verse 24, they have no need. But God hath tempered the body together. There in 24. He tempered the body together. He knows where he has put you. You really just have to decide. This is my church, and this is the body of believers that I am one with. Now, the church of Jesus as a whole, again, is sickly. How do I know that? Because it's so easy to not work on the oneness with each other. Because it's painful. Right? There's a very real possibility that as I think my wife is wrong in our oneness, that it's really me who's wrong in the oneness. And then I get corrected and like, oh. And I've been doing that for that many years? Ouch. Okay? This is what this means for us in the body of believers. And so I ask the question again, do you want to be made whole? So if we together would say we're sickly, who here, again, I offered up, who would stand before God and say, judge me, right? Judge my love by how I've loved others. Judge my giving by how I've given to others. Judge my patience by how patient I have been with everybody else. Now, I'm sober-minded today. Okay, I might be smiling, and we're you know talking about the body. There's a few jokey things here. But God has put us together. God hath tempered the body together. And so, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked. I love that in Christ, those that were nothing are elevated. Right? Those that were exalted are brought so that all are together. They're brought lower. Now ye are the body of Christ. Wait, I missed a part. 25, that there should be no schism in the body. And this is the part of our commitment to one another. And it's the body of Christ. There were schisms there. There were four divisions. This is a correction for them. This is their instruction how to correct the divisions in their body, but that the same members should have the same care for one another. And I want you to circle verse 25 where it says, care there for one another. Can you see how to help your brother and sister in need? Do you know how to care for one another? Do you know what they need? Can you see when they need your help? There's a ministry of helps. There's a gift of the Holy Spirit of helps. Okay? Here's the truth, is that at some point in time, you may be the one who's in need and need help. And then there might be another time where your care for another, you're the one providing what they need. And whether one member suffer, verse 26, and the same therefore suffer means suffer the same way it is in the sufferings of every other time. The Bible talks about suffering, same word. So if you believe that doctrine, it's tossed you to and fro, that suffering should never happen, that's your correction today that says, when I'm suffering, that's God's will for my life. When another part of the body is suffering, are you helping them? Are you suffering with them? Are you remembering? If they're squeezed, are you squeezed? If they're in tight straits, right, life's getting narrowed, are you there to help them? All the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. I've discovered the first part of verse 26 is easier for prideful people. And the second part of verse 26 is more difficult for prideful people, that another would be honored. But the verse matches very well if you'll humble yourself. And then you look at both sides, that another could be glorified. Praise God. Well, look what God did for you. You know, these are the things. I'll just say it again. Do you want to be whole? We started out this year, and again, a very clear word, if we just think we can work our gradual changes, we'll never be able to overcome the corruption and deterioration of our carnal lives. I'm offering today, in the context of a house of mercy, the words of our Lord to the man who was at the pool of Bethesda, and he says, wilt thou be well, or wilt thou be whole, in the King James. That's all he asks him. And then he says, well, I don't have anybody to carry me down. And I'm not offering works today. I'm offering mercy and grace. Now, not a one of us in the room is what we are, what we ought to be. In fact, that's the truth of this. And when one member is suffering, do you know who's suffering in church and are you ministering to them? We have lonely parts of this body of Christ and nobody's talking to them. We have needs that are, again, should not be unmet. Now, ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. You have a part. Again, that's all the members here have a part. Now, aren't you glad this isn't the first Bible study you got when you were saved? Now, if this is your first Bible study when you got when you're saved, then God just puts you on the fast growth course. It says, get with it. Now, God has set some in the church, verse 28. Apostles, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, and then miracles, gifts of healings, helps. That's the gift of helps right there. Again, if you see what needs to be done and you do it, you probably have the gift of helps. If you signed up to be on the helps ministry and you're not helping anybody, you probably don't have the gift of helps. If you're not doing anything for another, you don't see what their needs are and you're not helping them, so you can always ask for the gift of helps. There's gifts of governments, again, or ruling in Romans 12, same understanding there. And then he repeats again diversities of tongues. Ephesians 4 says that God gave some to the church. He gave apostles, he gave prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry and the edifying of the body of Christ. till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. We've been called to grow up. Today's a growing up correction. Trust me, when I was correcting my children when they were really young, there was not much words of instruction. You just correct what's not right in them so they can be on the right way. But when they get to be 10, 11, 12, I mean, you're really, they're planning out their lives. Your correction and then instruction on the way to go becomes very important for their benefit. And so when you look at this rhetorical question, these gifts that are distributed and God set them in place, this is the church, right? This is the body of Christ. Because Apostle Paul, he says he was an apostle, and then there were others saying, we don't need the Apostle Paul, yet he was given to the church and they needed him. That's like people saying to me, I don't need a pastor. I don't need church. I meet with God in the outdoors on the green every summer. That's my church. People talk like that. You know, when things are going well, you don't need church, do you? You're like, I don't need the rest of the body. See, this is why this is this way. They didn't care if they had divisions because they couldn't imagine needing, I don't need them. But what happens when things are tough? What happens when you're suffering? What happens when it's not going well? God has given to the church, and then this rhetorical question in 29, are all apostles? It's rhetorical. Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues and do all interpret? I don't get it, but I'm just going to say it right here. Those false doctrines that said the evidence of being saved is speaking in tongues doesn't match up with the Bible. Okay? Likewise, again, not everybody, again, these are all spiritual gifts. Not everybody who has been baptized with the Holy Spirit and has spiritual gifts, not everybody has the gift of tongues. If you haven't received the gift of tongues, don't sweat that, I just don't know if I've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. This should answer it for you. But we are told to, in verse 31, and this is our preparation, to covet earnestly the best gifts. Now, what are the best gifts? Well, I believe I'm exercising the best gift that God has given me today. And it's the gift of teaching. And I'm looking at us and I'm praying for us and our lives. And you have a teaching of correction and with chastening. And so what the best gift today, right now, is the gift of teaching. Now, if you'll receive the teaching from the Lord, the Scriptures, Holy Spirit teaching, and you're applying your heart to instruction. And you say, we are the body, we are one. Now, I love visiting church. When I travel, I love visiting Calvary. I love just show up at a Calvary Chapel. And I just get the fellowship, and I get to enjoy and have all this fun and fellowship. Hey, how are you? But when we're the body and you start living and with one another and you start ministering to one another, sometimes that funness goes away, doesn't it? Some of you don't like it when I call you. Right? Others are like, what's that like? Others of you can't wait for me to call. Or like, I don't want to hear from Pastor on this today. No. But we're to be that for each other. Because coveting earnestly the best gifts, the gift of tongues right now in this situation, me up here instructing you, gift of tongues is not the best gift for this. One of the best gifts we have for our understanding here to apply our ears to words of knowledge, that gift of word of knowledge of the Holy Spirit can give you a body part. The Holy Spirit saying to you, you belong here. If you have been here a while and you haven't received a word of knowledge about a body part of how you fit in the church, come and see me, because that's the Holy Spirit's way of saying, hey, I saw you coming. We got room for you. We need you. You need us. We need you. We're one body. We love you. I don't get that when I'm traveling. I'm in fellowship. I extend and greet in love. But what God wants to do with us here, he wants oneness. It's God's will for us to be one. Differences, you may not like my personality. That's tough, isn't it? You may not like the personality of the pastor who's teaching the Bible every week. Well, then you got to do what? You've got to receive me and, again, work all that out between you and the Lord. Just like, again, I do not have a problem with any of your personalities. Not a one of you. If I had a problem with any of you, what would I be doing? I would come to you. By the very fact that I'm not coming to you to... But some of you are not doing that. And then I offer again today, do you want to be made whole? So my prayer before God about today is to be one. And I'm asking him to heal our feeble knees and our weak hands and our function and love with one another. That's just not what it ought to be. It needs to be healed. Remember how that gradual change thing doesn't work? Or I'll just work harder at it. How about if I could convince you today to stop working and receive the grace of God and the gifts of the Spirit today, that the power of the Lord would be present to heal you spiritually? Spiritually healed. Because almost all of this comes back to, like, say, we're upset at God. I read today in Psalm, was it 130? And the psalmist says, oh Lord, with you is forgiveness of sins. That's why I fear you. You want to know why I really have fear of God? I forgave all my sins. That to me is, that reached my heart. Because I know what it was to be crying before God and crying out for mercy over all the things I had done. And what I'm offering up to us today is to be made whole. I'm offering mercy for sinners who are saved and in the body of Christ and need to be healed and stop lying to the Holy Spirit and one another. Because next week, we get on to the more excellent way. Paul says, I show unto you a more excellent way. That's love. Remember what I said twice today? I'll say it now again. Do you want to stand before God and say, God, judge me by the love with which I have loved others? Or would you prefer, like me, to stand before him and say, Lord, be merciful unto me? Because what happens in the body of Christ where we think we're better and we're measuring ourselves by our own standard, then we think God didn't have to be as merciful with me as he needs to be with others. Boy, I'm so glad I'm not like others. At least I tithe all my mints and herb garden stuff. You get this truth. So I've brought us here today on purpose by the Holy Spirit. And what I've been talking to us about is John chapter 5, verse 6. When Jesus saw him lying there, right? Again, the man who had the infirmity, 38 years. 2 weeks ago, a woman up here after service had received the gift of tongues 20 years ago, but stopped using it because of a blockage based off of her view of a part of the body of Christ and their doctrines. She, for 20 years, did not give that gift of tongues to God. We prayed, again, worked with her a few times, prayed, And she was released and offered up this beautiful tongue between her and God. And we had the interpretation that day too when we were all together. Now, do you believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Do you believe what I just said to you happened? See, because the sin of unbelief, you have to take your, right, your gospel and mix it together with faith. That's the same word that says that we are tempered together. It's a spiritual body. You cannot take the word and leave the spirit out. You cannot take the spirit and leave the word out. And so do you want to be made whole? I want to be made whole. I want this body to be made whole. Okay. We're sinners saved by the grace of God. God has been merciful unto us. There's not a one of us here that can stand up and say, judge me according to how I've judged another. Critical, judgmental is that pretty much kills the oneness in everybody that's trying to express love. And especially if somebody would say something to you and you don't like it. And this is I'm straight up honest. I'm leveling with you. John 5:6. Right? Jesus saw him lie in that state of infirmity for 38 years and knew that he had now been a long time in that case. He saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? So God's been watching us a long time. He's been watching each and every part of this body. He's been watching the body together. Okay, he knows everything that we say, think, and do. You know, do you want to stand up here and pastor like this? I don't know pastors who live like this from the pulpit. I know I do. I know my pastor does. I'll be honest, there's not a church that loves as they ought to love until they're corrected. Rarely do I see the oneness of the body until we've all agreed together to receive the instruction. So it's not works, it's grace. If it was works, then I would be actually giving you a list of stuff you had to do right now. But because it's grace, I'm offering to you, do you want to be made whole? Now, I would love if it was different and I could just say, yes, Lord, we want to be made whole. But this is singular. And the healing of every part, it doesn't have to happen all at the same time. Do you get that? But the spiritual healing of every part of the body at some point happens. When you first have your entrance in here, right, it might take a bit to like open up your heart and say, okay, I'm ready. When my wife and I are even discipling marriages, it takes some time to get to the issues of the heart and say, oh, that's what's going on. The Lord wants to heal that. So I offer up to you today, singularly, do you want to be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? If that's you, just if you can stand, right? Stand. If you can't stand, you can stand afterwards. I'm standing. I want to be whole. I want our whole church to be whole. I want each part to be whole. Lord, we confess we are sinners and we don't love as we ought. I don't know anyone who does until you correct and change. And we need your Holy Spirit. And so we ask today, Jesus, that you would look upon each and every one of us. You know the case that we've been in. For some it is 38 years. For others it's 30. For some it's 8. Whatever that number of years that we have been in this state, we need healing. We're crying out for mercy. We don't have any works that can bring about this, which has to happen. Lord, maybe it's that initial salvation for one today. They need to be saved today. Well, same cry. Jesus, save us. The cry for us, Lord, is Jesus, make us whole. Jesus, make each part that stood up for you today that they might be made whole in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, Father in heaven, make us one body, many members, we are one. May we please you. May we be whole together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.